Welcome to the Living Epistle Podcast, the place where you will find biblical principles to help you live out your faith on a daily basis and to have a positive impact on the lives of others. So, get ready for another powerful episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Hello, my name is Tony Miles, and welcome to this week's episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Over the past few weeks, I've been having conversations with various individuals who have been struggling with their faith walk and their desiring to live for God, but they also find themselves at the same time indulging in activities and behaviors that don't bring honor to God. And so even before we delve into this, I want to set the record straight. As long as we live in these fleshly bodies, there will be times and seasons in our lives where we'll find ourselves struggling to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul reminds us of this in Romans 7:19, where Paul says, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice." And so what is Paul saying here? What Paul is saying is exactly what he's stating. He's saying that what I want to do, when I want to do what is good, I don't. And when I don't want to do what's wrong, I find myself doing that anyway. And so now let me be clear. This is not a license for us to sin. This is not a license for us to say, why even try? That's not what this is saying at all. In fact, further down in that same chapter of Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, the Apostle Paul says this. The Apostle Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So Paul is saying, yes, there is this battle that is going on within our flesh, within my body, within your body, within our bodies. Paul is saying there's this battle that is going on, but he says, but I thank God that he's given me the answer. He's given me the victory. He's given me the way to overcome this battle. And the answer is in none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then in Galatians, Paul goes on to say in Galatians chapter 5, he says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit," with a capital S, right? "And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So then that begs the question, so what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Or how do we, quote, walk in the Spirit, end quote, with a capital S, and meaning the Spirit of God? How do we walk in the Spirit? Well, we walk in the Spirit by feeding Him, right? We feed the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us. How do we do that? We feed the Holy Spirit by reading God's word. We read what God has already spoken, what God has already said. We feed the Holy Spirit by spending time in prayer, talking to the Lord, communicating with God through his Spirit in Jesus Christ's name. We spend time feeding the Spirit in us by spending time with other believers who have a desire to live a life that's pleasing to God, who have a desire to live a life that would honor God. And how do we feed the Spirit? How do we feed the Spirit man that's in us, the Spirit being that's in us? We feed the Spirit by meditating on those things that are true and those things that are honest and those things that are just and those things that are pure and those things that are lovely and those things that are of good report. Sound familiar? You're correct. This Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, right? And so when we do that, when we feed our spirit man with godly things, with his word and with prayer and being around other believers and other brothers and sisters who encourage us in the word and meditating on those things that are listed in Philippians 4 and 8, then we put ourselves in a position to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit is guiding us, then we won't do those things that are sinful, or we won't do those things that our sinful flesh nature craves, right? And so I say that to say, so we must be mindful of what we take in with our eyes, those things we watch. We must be mindful of the things that we hear, those things that we take into our ear gates. We have to be mindful of those things because they impact our walk. They impact our ability to walk according to the Spirit, right? Because if we're listening to things that are not godly, if we're listening to things that are not feeding our spirit being, then guess what they're feeding? There's only one other option. It's feeding our flesh. And so then it becomes even all the more challenging to walk according to the Spirit when all we're doing is feeding our flesh man, right? And so I think one of the biggest mistakes is that we think that we can conquer the sinful desire, our sin nature on our own, right? Come on now. We find ourselves thinking that we can will ourselves, W-I-L-L, we can will ourselves not to do it. What do I mean by that? Well, we say to ourselves, quote, I'm not going to do it or whatever the it is. I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it, right? I hear you. I hear you in the podcast land saying, yep, that's me. But here's the problem with us thinking that we can, quote unquote, will ourselves not to do it. When we think that we can will ourselves not to do it, what we do is we wind up focusing on the it so much that we wind up giving the it, that thing that we're saying we don't want to do, we wind up giving that the power, right? And so again, remember, whatever we focus on, whatever we meditate on, that is the thing that we're giving the power to us. So that every time we keep telling ourselves that we're not going to do this, or we're not going to do that, or we're not going to do this, or we're not going to do that, or we say, I won't do this, or I won't do that, that's the will. When we find ourselves doing that in that very moment, those are the things that we wind up actually doing. It's no different than what Paul just said. I hear you saying amen. How do I know? Because we've all been there. The very things that we vowed that we would not do over and over again, we put ourselves in the position, and guess what? We wind up yielding to that very thing that we said that we wouldn't do. And here's the trick of the enemy. This is the trick of the enemy. The trick of the enemy is to try to get us to try to manage, quote unquote, our sinful desires, to get us to try to manage those urgings, to try to get us to manage those sinful proclivities, those things that we think that we can deal with. But it's a lie. It's a lie from the pit. We know we can't manage it. How do we know? Again, because the very things that we said that we wouldn't do, the very things that we vowed that we wouldn't do, the very promises that we made that we wouldn't do, we wind up doing the very thing that we vowed we wouldn't do. So, and that's the trick of the enemy, to try to get us to manage this thing and to think that we can do it on our own. We can't. Now, here's the other trick of the enemy. The other trick of the enemy is to try to shame us so that we're not sharing with our brothers and our sisters those areas in our lives that we struggle. Now, you don't have to share everything with everybody. We have to use wisdom, because some people can't handle what we're dealing with, right? But we use wisdom for those who are spiritually mature, those who have proven themselves to be faithful brothers and sisters, those who have proven themselves to be people that we can confide in. And we share with them, not so that they can gossip or talk, or we can gossip or talk, but we share with them so that they can pray with us and they can war with us, and they can give us sound, good biblical counsel in terms of whatever it is that we're struggling with. And so here it is. So let's stop trying to manage our sinful desires. Let's stop trying to manage our urgings and stop trying to manage our proclivities. And here's the way that we conquer these sinful errors in our, those sinful errors in our lives. The way that we conquer these errors in our lives is we surrender. We surrender them to God. What do I mean? James chapter 4, verse 7. They're very familiar. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, we've heard that verse, but we run right to the resist the devil part of that scripture. The problem with that is, here's the way that God says to do it. God gives us the proper sequence in order to be able to do that. The first thing God tells us is, in his word, submit to God. And then and only then, in other words, we could substitute submit to surrender. Surrender to God. Submit to God, surrender to God, then and only then can we have the ability to resist the devil. Because we've already seen, come on, my brothers and my sisters, we've already seen in and of our own flesh, in and of our own strength, we do not possess the ability to resist the devil, right? Because this sinful fleshly nature that we're in, this earthen vessel, it craves what it wants, when it wants, and how it wants it. And so that's why the word of the Lord tells us to submit to God, resist the devil, and then the devil will flee. Why? Because we're under the power of the Holy Spirit, and the devil knows in that instance or in that time that it's a losing battle, because we've surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to resist. And then the devil flees, right? And so, my brothers and my sisters, I want to encourage you that it is possible to live a holy life. And not only is it possible, as a matter of fact, God requires that of us, those of us who are called by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God requires us to live a holy life. Where is it? It's all throughout the book. I'm going to quote 1 Peter 1:15-16, but Peter is quoting what was in Leviticus. Peter is quoting what was in the Old Testament, right? Where the Bible, word of the Lord says, be holy for I am holy. But here's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. It reads, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. You see, family, God's word would not command us to do anything that he has not already equipped us to do, right? A holy lifestyle, holy conduct for those who are called by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is not an option. It is a mandate. And I couldn't help but think about the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. But in particular, where it says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. So it doesn't matter. We don't need a title to go and make disciples. We don't need a title to go and baptize people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need a title to teach them those things that he has commanded us. And even here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy, right? And so here's the thing that I want to share with you. Again, holiness is not an option. It's a mandate. It's a requirement. It is what the Lord requires of us, to those of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So here's what I want to share with you. And this scripture has been life-changing for me. It has transformed my life when it comes to dealing with temptation. It is 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And this I really want to encourage you to get in your bellies, get in your spirits, make it a part of your everyday walk. 1 Corinthians 10:13 from the New King James Version, and it reads, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So what is Paul saying here, right? What is Paul saying here? Paul is saying that the temptations in your life, in my life, the temptations in our lives are no different from what others are experiencing. All of us experience temptation. What Paul is trying to get you to understand, me to understand, is that you are not alone when it comes to being tempted. But what he wants to remind us of is that God is faithful, is that he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand, right? And people will, anyway, I won't get into that, but people misapply that. What Paul is saying is that he's saying with the temptation, though, when you are tempted, that the Lord will show you a way out so that you can endure it. What does that mean? In other words, God will show you a way out so that you won't give in to the temptation, that you won't succumb to the temptation, that you won't yield to the temptation. God will show you a way out. And here's a bonus nugget I want to share with you. And this is, I promise you, you'll remember this. So how do we know when we're being tempted or tested? What's the difference? What's the difference between a temptation and a test? A temptation is something that you want to do. Those urgings, those cravings to satisfy your fleshly desires, our fleshly desires, my fleshly desires. It's the things that we want to do. But in the back of our mind, we know we really shouldn't be doing that. That's a temptation. A test is something that you don't want to do. The Holy Spirit is nudging you to do something. The Holy Spirit is nudging you to take this action, to do something, and you find yourself resisting. Lord, you sure? You know, that's a test. It's the thing that you don't want to do. And I want to just give a shout out here. You can thank the most esteemed teacher of the New Mercy's Noble Warriors Men's Bible Study for that. And he was a guest on my podcast a couple of weeks ago. And that's Elder Wayne Tyus. You can thank him when you see him for that nugget, or when you talk to him. Thank him for that nugget. A temptation is something you want to do, but in the back of your mind, you already know that's not something you should be doing. A test is something that you should be doing that you don't want to do, right? And so anyway, so Here's the thing about a temptation. We try to blame Satan and say, wow, the devil made me do it. And I have to tell you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. The devil cannot make you or me or us do anything. Now, here's what the devil can do. He can suggest, he can entice, he can cajole, he can urge. But in the end, the decision is totally 100% up to you and me as to whether we want to give in to the temptation. He cannot make us do anything. And the scripture is clear on that. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, right? In everything, we're more than conquerors. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is that, and as a matter of fact, let me, before I go there, the Bible tells us, is very clear, that the things that we yield to are those things that are within us. Temptation doesn't come from without. It comes from those things that are within us. And what the devil is doing is tempting us with those things that he knows appeal and crave to our flesh and our fleshly desires. And so how do we have victory? And here's where I'll wrap it up. We have victory that when the temptation comes, and we know that they will, as long as we're in these fleshly bodies, we know the temptations will come. But this is what I'll say to you. Please get 1 Corinthians 10:13 in your spirit when those temptations come. No temptation, no temptation, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Look for the way of escape, my brothers and my sisters. It may be that still small voice. It may be that momentary delay or hesitation that you experience before you take that action. It may be the change in your plans. You've plotted, you've planned, you've strategized, and something comes up that changes your plan. And let's be truthful. If we're totally honest, we know when the Holy Spirit is warning us against doing the things that don't honor God. We know it. So when those temptations come, my challenge to you is look for the way of escape, and for God's name's sake, take it. Remember, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. This is Tony Miles. Thanks for listening. Now go and be a living epistle. Join us again next week for another episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Music for Living Epistle Podcast is provided by Audionautix.com.